My name is Omar Jawid. Currently, I work for Dell. I've been here in Austin for about 3 years. Moved to Austin to work for Dell, right? Background-wise, so I was a Northwestern grad in 2001. Did a computer engineering major and also had a major in economics at Northwestern. After that, I went to go work for Intel for 6 years. Coming out of undergrad, I mean, I did engineering because that's really what I wanted to do, and that's really where my interest lied, right? So I went and worked for Intel, which was an amazing experience for me. You know, I mean, it let me be an engineer, let me kind of work on cool things, let me do sort of the design aspects and kind of see a product, be able to build a product end-to-end with a team of people, of course, right? So I did that for a number of years. So at Intel, I was in the, so there's, the product is a graphics microprocessor. So if you think about a computer, there's, you know, different chips that do different pieces of it. There's a processor Intel's famous for, but then they also make the video card essentially, right? Which is what helps you, I guess you're probably more familiar with video cards than the average person. So I was basically working on the team that did the Intel video cards. So back then when I joined 2001, and actually I had interned with the team in 1999 with my first internship with them, that was basically Intel's second generation product, where they're trying to make an entry-level, low-cost graphics processor to compete with, to provide basically a value product as an alternative to NVIDIA and AMD and those folks. Over the years, this has become the mainstream just because of technology and how Intel has put a lot of investment in it. So now it's, I think, neck and neck with some of the best, you know, out there. I think I've always had an interest in how things work, right? So even when I was younger, I remember kind of, you know, just, and this is probably the story a lot of engineers share, right? If they've, I mean, I used to take apart toy cars and put them back together, kind of take out the motors and use it to do something else, right? Or, you know, back then, those flashy toy, you know, in the 80s or when I grew up, you have these police cars with sirens and lights and motors that made it move, and you had like fire trucks. So we had those things and as kids, right? And I remember taking them apart and kind of repurposing the motors and lights. Nothing fancy, but just played with those rather than just necessarily just play with the car, right? And so I think that was always the case. And I was always kind of like, why does this work this way or why does it work that way, right? I remember when I was getting a little bit older and chatting with friends, part of my conversations would be, you know, I wonder why they did this instead of, you know, if you looked at a construction, you know, like drove on a road and you saw some artifact on the road, I'm like, why did they do this versus a different design? So it was always just kind of how I used to think about things. And then one of the things, and I think, because my parents, I'm Indian, right, wanted me to be doctors, but I think the worst thing they did was they bought a computer for themselves when I was 6 or 7. And actually, I can't remember how old I was, but, and then I was intrigued by that thing, and I was spending time just playing with it. And it came with a programming manual, so the nerd, I guess, that I was, kind of taught myself programming just with the parents' computer. So not at 6 or 7, but when I was a little bit older, right? But point is, I think that if it wasn't there, maybe I would have just listened to them and became a doctor, right? But so nothing that pushed me towards it, but it was just an internal, like, curiosity and interest, I guess. I mean, the high school was pretty typical. I was in a typical high school. Actually, I was in a college prep high school, so there was a lot of homework. So I don't remember having, I mean, it was pretty, I would say, relatively uninteresting portion of my life because I just did the things that I'm supposed to do, right? Homework was easily 4 hours a night. Like, I remember going to Northwestern and being like, all my friends were complaining about how much homework, you know, they had to do for the next day. And I'm like, this is easier than my high school, right? So high school kept me pretty busy with the amount of homework. It was a college prep school, so I think it was a private college prep school. So I think they lived up to their name of preparing you for college. In high school, I did the typical activities. Part of it from, you know, just National Honor Society, some volunteer work, but nothing too interesting there. In college, I guess if I was probably more focused on just getting a job and all those things. So college, I did my classes, tried to do well, spent time studying. The activities I did, there was a lot of hanging out with friends that I met, and that's, you know, your typical college experience.
Over the summers,
I was interning, right? So the first summer, the very first summer, I just got a call center job. That's the best you can do coming out of the first year, no real concrete knowledge, I think, as far as I know. But my second year, I was able to get an internship with Intel. So I think you're 2 years in now as well? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my second year, I got an internship with Intel, which is typically rare. You usually kind of don't get your first internship until your junior year, right? But I was able to kind of network and get it. And actually, what was interesting is I'd kind of told my different people I was interested in working for Intel, and it was my number one kind of place. And my roommate became friends with this girl who was like, oh, my uncle works for Intel. So then he's like, well, so she said, I'll talk to him one day. And so she talked to him one day over, I mean, this is in 1998. So, I mean, internet was around and all that, but, you know, it wasn't as common, right? And I think she talked to her uncle, and her uncle was like, okay, have him send in my resume. So I literally, and he gave me his home address. So I mailed a resume out, which is, you know, very, very different than even like a year later where everything was done online, right? So it literally went to this person's home who trusted me with their address in California. And then I sent it to him, and I forgot about it. And a few months later, I get a call for an interview. I'm excited. I do the interview. I just think it's from the career fairs I submitted the resume at, right? I do the interview, get the job, really excited. I go out there, and it turns out it was my friend's uncle who had set up the interview. He had somebody else interview me because he was a manager. So it wasn't the going to the job fairs, and it wasn't like talking to the recruiters. It was literally having that resume in front of a person who could set up the interview. I think, as you know, I'm now a professional. That's probably 2001, so almost 14, 15 years into my career, right? And I'm, I guess, setting the context to explain why that's important, right? But since being an engineer, then I love doing it, but I wanted to go do some other things. So I went and got my MBA at Kellogg, and then now in a more business kind of role, right, where I'm kind of helping do some strategy and doing work to help business leaders make decisions, right? One of the things that I didn't develop, and I kind of sensed that I wasn't doing a good job developing that, and being an engineer let me slide on that front, was more the leadership skills, more kind of presentation skills, more of the influence skills, right? And I knew that when I was at Intel as an engineer, I knew I was underperforming on that element, but because it wasn't core to my job, I'm like, doesn't matter. And I didn't really emphasize it, but I was really good at what was important in my job. So in some ways, I was a really good fit for my skills and what I was doing, which is being behind a screen and kind of programming. And I really enjoyed it. I was great at it, and I was one of the best in my team for that work. And that allowed me to underperform on some of the other dimensions, which early part of your career aren't great, but that's the best time to learn those skills. Because as you become more senior, at some point, you're going to stop wanting to do coding all day long, right? You don't want to be doing the detailed work. You want to be maybe managing people. You want to be influencing decision leaders, or you want to be in the position where you're making those decisions. And so as I've kind of made the transition into more of a business role rather than an engineering role, I'm finding that skill that I basically let atrophy for 6-8 years coming back to bite me. So I'm developing it now, but there is many good chances to have at least kept it on an even scale rather than let atrophy, right? as you get more senior in your career, right? And again, it depends on where you want to flex and what you want to do and what role you find yourself in. At some point, kind of the interpersonal skills are a lot more relevant to your job, even if you're in a technical field, right? Because you're doing less of the day-to-day engineering work. It doesn't matter what field you're in, I suppose, right? If you're in construction, you're probably not building anymore. You're supervising a team of people and working with upper management, right? If you're doing whatever you're doing, right, it's probably the same thing. You're probably not going to be doing, I don't know what you're doing, but somebody's an ad agency, right, and they're maybe doing copywriting and all that stuff. When you become more senior, likely you may not want to be doing that, right? Anyways, point being, interpersonal skills are important. I sense I wasn't spending as much time developing that element. And so for me personally, and not being a core strength, I should have spent more time doing that. So. Self-driving cars, right? I think captures everyone's imagination over the last year or two or three, right? Especially just because it's getting a lot of buzz, right? And so for me personally as a consumer, that's the one that excites me the most. And the reason it's hit a little bit more of relevance in my life now is I feel like and I kind of follow tech cars and read up on what they're doing innovation-wise and the feature set, right? And I used to be pessimistic on the outlook. I'm like, they're talking about it, but it's not going to happen 10, 15, 20 years down the road because there's a lot of regulatory things that have to happen, a huge improvement in technology. I know people are working on it. But the reason I'm getting excited about it now is I see kind of cars evolving, the features that are coming out. They're basically putting in 0.25 features or 0.5 features, so little improvements. So to me, that gives me confidence that they're not waiting for it. Hey, it's either driver today and driverless, 100% driverless tomorrow. They're putting in a lot of features that are like, a little bit of steps along the way. To me, that gives me more confidence. So the realization that it's actually real and can happen in my lifetime is what's making me more excited. So as an example, right, there's cars that are now can fully automatically brake without any driver intervention, right? That technology on the market, you can buy it in most cars today, or certainly the higher end cars, right? Where if they sense an object in front of you, they will, whether or not you do anything, they will completely stop the car, right? There's technology already available today that if you veer off your lane, it will pull you back in. That's there available in many of the premium cars. So all the baby steps, they're doing basically a phased approach, which to me gives me more excitement that's gonna actually happen versus trying to get everything together, which will never happen, right? I think as I reflect on my internships and I've reflected internships that I've done at Northwestern and then subsequently I've worked at a few different, I think three different companies so far, right? And what I've found is I've been really successful in some roles, like very successful, and I've also been unsuccessful in other roles, right? And I guess, let me add it. So if I added up probably three different internships I was able to do at Northwestern, because I did a extra year, that gave me three summers because I started off in my sophomore year, junior year, and then between my senior and my fifth year. So I had three internship experiences and three work experiences, right? So six different experiences, I've done well in some, not so well in others. And so I think the first thing is, you sometimes, even though you know what you want to do and you think it's great, sometimes you've got to try a few different things, right? I think I was fortunate when my first experience went well, so that kind of helps you build your confidence. But it could have easily. But my second internship I did at the same company wasn't that great because I just didn't like what I was doing, and it just didn't work out. And so, first internship I did, great feedback. Second internship I did, not that great. So I was fortunate where I had the good one first, which builds positive momentum and positive trajectory. But for somebody else, it may be the flip, right? So I think success in the career maybe just matter finding what the right thing is. And so if you get the first one that doesn't make sense, don't let it kind of bring you down too much, right? Keep trying, try a few different things. I think you're gonna find, you know, you try a few different things and eventually you'll find something that's a good match for your interest, skills, and it could be a function of interest, skills, or just the people who are working there and it's a good fit, right? Could be on a lot of different dimensions. Same thing when I left MBA, I found some areas where I've been successful, some areas where I've been less successful. And so having had that internship experience and previous work experience where I knew that, you know, you gotta try a few different things to find out where you're good at and where it's gonna be a good home, kind of helped me to not get too worried when something didn't work, because I'm like, you know what, that's part of life. You gotta just try something else, and maybe that's the one. Or if that's not the one, then try something else, right? So it's more of an encouraging thing to say, hey, try different things. One of them is gonna click more so than others, right? So that's one. I guess the other one probably goes back to kind of my earlier observation, right? Which is there's interpersonal skills, there's technical skills, there's a few other skills. As you're going through a career, depending on your role, you may be incentivized to build one more than the other, function of your team strengths and where you add value, function of the company, function of what's valued. But try to keep an even keel, I suppose, right? Because, you know, it may be great as an engineer, or it may be great as you're an artist or whatever else you're doing, but trying to keep everything kind of up to par is gonna help you down the road, because you never know what you're gonna be doing, whether or not you wanna go into more of a leadership role or more of a managerial role, or maybe change careers altogether. But trying to balance out your skill set and actively looking for ways to improve, you know, maybe you're a leader by nature, but you're not that great on technical skills, we'll try to build that, right?